I'm going to try to run to 3 points, and you know how that is. Try to get there. I'm going to take the text verse will be verse 8 in chapter 49. And then we'll use verse 30. Flee ye, turn back, dwell deep, O inhabitants of Dedan, for I will bring the calamity of Esau upon him, the time that I will visit him. Verse 30, flee, get ye far off, dwell deep, O ye inhabitants of Hazar, saith the Lord, for Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, hath taken counsel against you and hath conceived a purpose against you. I'd like to preach just a little bit on dwelling deep. Dwelling deep. Amen. I wrote the definition of that word deep somewhere in here. I'll probably run across it here in a few minutes. We'll be going back over there in the first of this book. But we've been talking about, and everybody's been conversing about these days and about where we're at. And on the night that Obama got elected, I went to bed at 7:30 that night. I didn't want to see it, you know. And about 11:30, I got up and walked out of the bedroom, and my wife said, well, we got a new president. And I said, yeah, Obama. Yeah. And she said, well, how'd you know? I said, well, you could see it. Yeah. Yeah. And so I went to my study, and I just went in there and laid my head down on my desk, and I said, God, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And it just seemed like I just don't believe in throwing the Bible open and, you know, getting an answer in a lot of things. I believe you need to meditate and study and pray and ask the Lord, and the Lord will give you answers. He'll give you answers. He'll do it in His time, though. Now, He'll do it when He gets ready to let you know. He'll let you know. He'll tell you when He gets ready to let you know. You know, I'm glad that He just gives it little by little, don't you? Precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. God does it daily and does it a little at a time. He'll never bring you into a place that He hadn't got you prepared for. Amen. He'll prepare you for that place. He'll get you ready for it. Amen. And as you go all the way down through life, whatever your lot might be, wherever you might be, God gets you ready for it if you'll let Him. If you'll just hear Him and listen to Him, and He'll put you in the place you need to be. And I want to be right in the perfect will, Brother Sam, the perfect will of God. That's where I want to be, right where God wants me. He won't have no problem finding me. Amen. When He calls me, I'll just go out of here. Amen. I'm ready to go. Aren't you? So I say, Lord, what are we going to do? He said, just as clear, He said, build my church. Amen. To quit worrying about the government and build my church. Amen. I'll take care of the government. I'll take care of the kings. You take care of my church, preacher. What you need to do is take care of the church. That's what God gave us to do. That's what God gave the preacher to do. A responsibility is the church. Don't worry about the government. Amen. Can you preach about it? Yes. Bless God. Stand up and blow the boom on it. Amen. But what your burden is the church. Yeah, lost souls, build them, God, and win them, then edify them, build them up, teach them about God, tell them who the Lord is, amen, and demonstrate God. Hey, come to camp meeting and worship, amen, and learn how to worship. This generation needs to learn how to worship. That's what they need to learn how to do. They need to learn how to shout it out, and then they know that they've already learned how to pout it out. They've already learned that real well, but they know how to pout. You ever seen a little baby lip sticking out all the time? They can't take hard preaching no more, Brother Raines. This gun can't take it at all. They can't take it no more. You have a little bitty baby sticking your lip out. What you need to do, young birds and teenagers, you need to grow up. I'm sorry to tell you. You're just going to have to grow up, you know. You're just going to have to get strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Amen. And when you stand up and have a shout on it, there'll be something down in you. Amen. There'll be something in you when you shout. Amen. If you can be part of this movement in the Carrico family, if you want to be. Becca has got her own church going now, fellas. And Holly is the assistant pastor. And she's head of praise and worship, in case y'all want to budge in on that. And you can't get in on it because I asked them, what did they have for my kids? They got to have something for my kids. I'm not going to let them come over. Well, she told me they got choo-choos. They got all kind of little things. Take your kids around, all them little things. Yeah, right. You ain't seen that charismatic mega church stuff. Yeah. See them down there with little trains taking people around. Have a little choo-choo right before Sunday school. You know what I mean? Where is it that the old godly saint of God, the mom and the daddy, get those little kids in their hand and go marching off to church on Sunday morning? Don't have to worry about where they're going. They know they're going down to the house of God. The man of God's down there, buddy. And the house of the Lord, there's glory in the house of God. Amen, amen. Well, that ain't in the text, brother. I'm trying to be theological this morning and exegete the scriptures. Dwelling deep. I got this thought from Brother Joe Bryant. He told me not to use it, and I used it in the camp meeting all morning. I had to preach the morning services, and I down that young boy, I used that all week. I said, I won't use your title. Yeah. Amen. Old Dr. Joe knows that book, don't he? Yeah. You get some stuff from him if you listen.
Yeah.
Quit talking. All right now, fellas. You know, I call these preachers up, and I said, I wish y'all would shut up so I can say something. They ain't said five words, Brother Haynes. They ain't had a word. They ain't said nothing. As I sat there on the other end, just as quiet, and I say, are you there? I'm here, Brother Harvey. I'm here. I'm just a listening. Yeah, that's about half dead what you are. Oh, you're about ready to quit. You're about ready to throw it in. Everybody beat you up. And everybody said everything about you. And you're in a mess, ain't you? Amen. You think it's any different for us? You think it didn't come our way, too? Amen. You think all these things didn't happen to us in the matter of all camp meeting, fighting, all this other stuff? You think that didn't happen to us? Hey, there's a many of men that fallen during these things. Are you going to be one of them? Or are you going to go on? Amen. 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 I can't help it. With somebody that you start with, you always admire them and keep them above. You know what? I started with Brother Rains. That's where my camp meeting began. 1982. That's where I began, buddy. Right up there. I came in there, boy. We used to go down behind that little old bunkhouse. Brother Jones, Dr. Jones, had to sleep in the barracks with us, buddy. Six stories up, and I was down on the bottom. And we had one shower in the back, brother. That thing never did have hot water. And then we had to get our little mats right before we started and go down there and bind them woods and pray and get a hold of God. And then when we come back up there, brother, I tell you, fire running out our eyes like everything in the world. And we get in there and you didn't have to say, let's get a song. It was already on, brother. It was on when you came out of the tub. It was on in the barracks. It was on in the child. Hey, there would be people down there and we'd come out of those meetings. The dinners would go out the door sometime. And we get down there. I've seen old Judy Payne throw those biscuits and throw those things plumb up the top of the ceiling. We'd be sitting there, they'd get full of God, they'd get the shouting in the mess hall. But down there, it's not a mess hall, it's army term. And just shout it out, brother. Looking forward to the afternoon service, looking forward to that youth meeting when them young preachers had preached in them. They didn't have no everything, they had to preach in them, brother. They turn them loose, give them 5 minutes, they go like a wild man for 5 minutes, and then you have to set them down. I'd rather have to set them down. I had to pump them up. And I don't see any reason for some of you at 62 to lose the fire. Molly grubbing bunch, belly aching, that's what my last meeting was. Run around moaning, groan, how bad it is on you. Your retirement's about shot, you ain't got no money, you don't know where you're going. I know where. I got to preaching for Brother Angle over there. I got to do it like that one day. He got to getting on his seat and his people. He's a sitting there pulling on it laughing. I said, I've got that big wrestler who's going to take you on too, buddy. If I win that wrestler on, I said, Brother Angle, if you don't shut up, I'm going to phone you out. Amen. I said, that ain't going to be me. It's going to be your people. Well, we ain't done much preaching, have we? Amen. Let's try to give you the message. Three little old simple points if I can get to the end of them. Because I studied deep. Preach shallow. That's about the way it is. That was the advice of a great preacher. He said, study it deep and then bring it out where they can understand. I mean, I've got some of the greatest notes in the world, but I don't ever use them. Thank you. And you know, the old timers built those big old churches. They wasn't so great theological giants. They didn't come in here and set up on the way and get it where you couldn't understand. They'd get right down there where you was at. That'd be so plain and simple that it'd be anybody could understand. They'd be preaching on sin and the Savior and the second coming. Amen. It wouldn't be nothing great. I'm glad I'm a Baptist. I believe the book, I believe the blood, I believe the blessed hope, don't you? Amen. That's a whole lot, to be understood. But it's real prim when you come to an old Baptist and they say, I just believe the book, Brother Harvey. I believe in the blood. I believe in the blessed hope. I ain't too sound. I ain't too big in all the doctrines. And I can't read real good, but I believe in the blessed hope. Amen. I believe that that King James Bible is God's word. He said, what do you believe that? I have a pastor that studied and knows what that Bible comes from. I got a pastor that's as good as there is on the King James Bible. And when I get in sometimes, I don't know. I just call him up. I believe in the blessed hope book, blessed hope, all of it. Don't you? I'm a Baptist too. Amen. I'm not as much a Baptist as some of these fellows are. I'm sorry. I can't keep this thing up. Hey, did I sign that thing for another 30 minutes? Hey, young people. I'm going to get to you in a minute. You know, that's another thing, Brother Raines. That's been the ministry of yours all your life, young people. That's been mine. I can't get away from it. Even at the late, it seemed like we're still crying out to them. Even in our older age, we're still crying out to them. I don't know how many young people Brother Raines has influenced. You know, and that's not degrading any of you that tell some of you men, there's some men that are nothing but great Bible expositors. I mean, that's not saying that Brother Rain, he knows the Bible good. I've got his series on the shepherd over there. I got that 1 year on that shepherd on my cup runs over. No, the anointing. It's just as good as any. But there's some men of God like Brother Cheney, like some of these other fellows, they get up here and they'll take that Bible and they'll just give you stuff, you know. They'll just come out like that preacher preaching yesterday, you know, and had all them names memorized and everything else, you know. Just going on and on and on. And that's good camp meeting preaching. You know what I mean? I appreciate that. But it's good. And y'all shout on it. You know what I'm saying? But my ministry has been for you young people. Bless God. Get up.
Yes.
You got as good a great a God as it was for me, as it was for anybody. God can do as much for you as he can do with anybody. All he's looking for is what he's been looking for from the very beginning. He's looking for somebody that will give their life totally, unfoundedly, every bit of themselves completely. I've seen that call too many times, Brother Raines, up there in that time. God called out them young people. Is there anybody here that wants to give all to God for a sellout, lock, stock, and barrel? You're going to have to do it too. You're going to have to come to the place that you've thrown everything in. You've thrown the towel in. You've given all up. It took me 6 months before I fully surrendered to God. Old Steve Griffith preached down there at Salem on that Remember the Creator of the Days I Used. That was January. For 6 solid months, he got an invitation. God let me preach. Anyway, if I preach, see, I might get an appointment to preach to your church. Well, wasn't he so well? Let me tell you. Brother Steve got up there and we were singing, I Surrender All. I Surrender All. And he just stopped right in the middle of it. He said, you bunch of hypocrites. He said, you're out there singing, I Surrender All, and half of this crowd ain't surrendered. Well, he shouldn't have said that. That wasn't nice. Now, son, if you're going to get up in there, don't be acting like that. Now, you don't say things like that. Yeah. Yeah. You might have an attitude. He said, you bunch of hypocrites. Half of you is out there and you don't mean it.
No.
You don't mean it.
No.
So 6 months, I stayed on my face crying. I'd go into Montana's house. I'd be just crying. All I do is just cry. So what are you crying about? I don't know. Just crying. Just crying, 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 you know. Everywhere I go, I'd cry. Then I'd get on the altar. Everywhere I'd go to preacher's fellowship, they'd be preaching, everybody preaching. I'd just be going to the altar crying. I've crawled to the altar in front of all of them while they sit there and watched you. About 30 or 40 preachers, and you got to get down and crawl in front of all of them. Wonder what's wrong with him. Got sin in his life. Go home, sit down in the bedroom. Your wife's sitting there, and you look at her, and she don't understand. She don't understand a thing about it. And I said, you reckon the Lord will let my mind snap? Sit in the corner. Wanting God. Wanting God, buddy. No, I want no peg stuff. I want something real, don't you? And that's going to cost you to find something real, buddy. It'll cost you to find something real. It won't cost you now to lay me down and sleep stuff, buddy. It'll cost you a little time out in the woods crying, screaming, hollering, groaning. I don't care about this outfit. It says not about prayer. This is much a pie baby that's praying his butt. I'll have your outfit. Don't even pray. Don't ever get a hold of God. Don't get out there and call on God. I mean, act like some kind of crazy. Act like some kind of fanatic. And sit there and groan and cry. Say, God, if I can't do it with your power, I don't want to do it. Then young ladies, all they like to do is see how much they can look pretty. And they wouldn't shout. You can't get a shout out of one another. Nah. 6 months later, in June, you know, and that he's just counting me, and God just moved me here right there in yours. You know, every time it was happening right at the same time. God moved me here. And I'm thankful. Thank God. Appreciate it. But my help was there, Brother Larry. We come in that night in the old building. Brother Roy Goodsman holding the main services. He was going to preach that night. We come in, and when we went in, I don't know what I'm telling you. I reckon just because it's in the providence of God, I'm here with Brother Raines. And Brother Raines is coming up here, and he's got a testimony of camp meetings and young people. We went inside that night, and you don't bit more get in there, and that thing gets on. You just walk in the door. But that night is a little different. I don't know if you remember or not, Brother Raines, but we went into the old building, and we went in there to the altar that morning, and was praying, and this is what he was saying. The young preachers are listening to the man, you know, that's leading. They'll just listen. And he's always said this, and I'm not trying to exalt him. People don't. He just been the one I started with. And that's what you'll do to all your pastors, the preacher that you get saved under, the places that you got, like Brother Calvin, your pastor, and the fellows, and it's just something that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
And he made this statement. He said, Lord, if you don't do something here, it'll be all in vain. And every week we'd look for one service that God would blow that thing down. So we'd wait for one. We knew somewhere along the line during that week God would breathe on that thing.
Yeah.
God would breathe on it. It'd be unbelievable.
Yes.
Old Billy Kelly come in one night and we went in the glory. I've had a young preacher up there. He had never been in like that, anything like that. We'd done been shouting for about an hour or so. He was laying over on the front of the altar, hadn't got up yet. He's still laying there, crying and groaning, just laying there. It's Keith Mullins, he's just crying and groaning. He's a 4-year graduate out of Temple. Yeah, he's laying over there, they just groaning, going on. We had a bunch of them, Bob Jones boys get it too, every once in a while. Don't tell them I get it. And a bunch of them got it, you know. If you say, was there any wars going on? You better believe there's wars going on, buddy. You mean between these 100 fundamentals? You better believe some preachers, you get back there in that room, they'd get you in a spot. Well, what about this, Brother Harvey? You know, they'd be wearing out, you know. They'd be a war, but they come back in there, side there, and get in there. And what am I trying to get to? I've got 10 minutes to preach. I'm just talking tales now. I'll come back in there. We come walking in, the Holy Ghost was all over the place. and we got to singing. Tammy gets to singing whatever it takes, Lord, to be more like you. Everything starts working around, you know, and all of a sudden the altar starts filling up. I mean, hundreds is coming to the altar. We're on the altar, and we're praying, we're crying, we're going on with God, and we're saying, God, one jump up and shout, one jump up and shout, another jump up and shout, then another, and I don't know how many get saved now, so called to preach and everything else. But it just seemed like God that night just went, and son, about everybody in the whole place come up off the altar. And that wasn't nothing but shouting going on. You said that shout wasn't real. There's one little girl that's doing that like that. And she was going around. She couldn't even see where she was at. She staggered like that. You said it wasn't real. We went down that driveway. We went down that Interstate 40 on that Friday morning. We stopped down there in that rest area. They jumped out of that van, started tearing the grass up. You tell me it wasn't real. You tell me it wasn't real. It lasted to a rest stop anyway. Amen. Most of yours can't last outside that seat. Amen. Hanging on the buildings of crying, children under conviction, teenagers are shouting in the altar and around, going on with God, loving the Lord, pulling the woods up. Hey, I'm talking about old time gout meeting, brother. I'm talking about some of you young people. You're as far away from God as I've ever seen. You're a carnal, worldly. All you want to do is play games.
Yes, sir.
Billy Mitchell, you say, say amen right there.
Amen.
I got 7 minutes to try to preach. It's exactly right. I could come up here and tuck my text and give you this thing. We're coming judgment in our days. The only safety lies in dwelling in some secret hidden place of security. Judgment coming, impending calamity at hand. So the message to us today is to dwell deep. The times that the world hated us, the day of judgment is on us. Final consummation of it is the crisis at hand. The time is next to a few years left. It's crucial. The hourglass of grace is running out. It's the 11th hour. We live in a day of shallowness, though. We live in a day of superficiality. We live in a day that when greater matters of eternity are ignored and forgotten. Christian life is only as successful as we go deep into the things of God. We rise spiritually only when we go down in the depths with God. How help us to get deeper that we might rise higher. What do we need to dwell deep in? We need to dwell deep in our conversion. I wonder how deep your conversion is, buddy. I wonder when you got it. When did you get it, buddy? I want to know when the day God came into your life. I'm not talking about what day you might decided you're going to do a little better. I'm not talking about decided you ought to come into the house of God and I'm tired of your sin. Hey, some of you young people, you just get all caught up in stuff and you'll come in there and you'll cry and bellyache and go on about those tears and there's no true repentance in your life. You're not really repenting toward God and believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not really seeing that you've offended God. You've not seen your sin. That's what's taking you to hell. You never come under conviction. You're just in worldly sorrow. You're just in the sorrow of the sin of life. Hey, godly sorrow worketh repentance. What is godly sorrow? It's when you're sorry for your filthy, low-down stinking, low-down sin. You offended God. Amen. Has there ever been a day you got converted? You hear people testify. They talk about the day God came in their life. They didn't talk about the day that they did better. I started going to church and this. I started going here and I started going there. Hogwarts. When's the day you found out you was a sinner? You know, worshiping God don't mean anything to you. But it don't make your little joy bells go on in you. It don't excite you. It don't help you a bit. You watch people and you say, I wish I felt like that. Well, you can if you get saved. You say, I said you can if you'll get saved. Okay? You say, that's pretty hard. Okay, let me reason with you now, men and women. How did it happen in you? Did not the joy of the Lord fill your heart? Did not the peace that passeth all understanding come in you? Did not God do something in you that you'll never forget? Because when the times come and the days that we're living in now, you go back to that place. You go back to that moment. You go back to that day. I know, Lord, that's the day I met you. I know everything might be going on like it is. And I've been studying the Word of God. And I've been trying to understand who you are. I've been in the Scriptures. I love the Word of God. I've ever since the day I got saved, that's the only comfort. That's the only constraint. That's the only conviction. That's the only thing that keeps me straightened out is the Word of God. And that Word of God speaks to me now like it did when I got saved. And those young people got converted. And when they got saved, they hit the front seat with their King James Bible under their head. Oh, young ladies come in the house of God dressed modest with a Bible in their head, and they got a soul in their heart. I wonder how deep is your conversion. I want to know if you've ever been saved. Have you outfits lost as a goose? You try to put on a dress and be modest and everything else. You try to do everything that they tell you to do, and you never seen a preacher preach his shirt tail out. I used to see them when they got up in the pulpit, the tie would leave and they'd start rolling their sleeves up. They'd start rolling their sleeves up, buddy. You'd say, he must fix them to do something. He wasn't worried about where everybody in there liked what he said either. Got 3 minutes. How deep is your conversion? How deep is your communion with God? Well, I commune with Him out in my bass boat. I commune with Him on the golf course. Well, I'm going to get you too, buddy. I commune with Him out there in my garden. I talk to God about nature. You know how it is. Oh, I just thank you, Lord, for this beautiful garden that I got. And thank you, God, for my health and strength. You're so good to me, God. I'm talking about communion, buddy. Brother Sammy says, have you been in the holy place today? Have you been in communion with God this morning? Oh, no, we're too busy eating. We're too far sleeping. We want to come and shout it out, but we don't want to get God on it. We want everybody to hear what I got to say. You say, y'all not talk to me like that. My wife heard it all the way up the highway. Did I not? Am I not? If I'm not, don't worry about it. She knows where I'm telling the truth or not. I said, I'm not going to count me. Not she's got to hear the preaching. I said, I'm not going to count me to compare messages. I'm going to count me to get something from God. And I want to hear from God, buddy. I don't want to hear from man. I want to hear from God. I know He uses man, but the only way man can get a message, he better get in communion with God. He better get in that Word. He better get somewhere and say, God, I need a message. I need a message for this place. That means there's 1 minute left. And 1 minute with the Lord is 1,000 years. Now, when we get done to go up there to fellowship, and these young preachers get done preaching, and they get up there and they start to sit down, and one of them might feel like he failed, and one of them might feel like he done it all. You be so spiritual enough to discern exactly what to say to him. And these young people, some of them might come up here and they might just made a statement or something. If you'll listen today, God will speak to you. out of one of these young men. But if you ain't been in communion, just forget it, buddy. You ain't asked God for it anyway. How deep is your communion? I got to quit. He's going to hit that building. Wait a minute. I'm going to give the outline. I'm done. The communion. How deep is your conversion? How deep is your communion? How deep do you know about the cross? How deep is your consecration?